This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, the 469 texting during the break. Bro, I'm just tuning in. My son just told me about George. Please tell me it's true. You do not need to adjust your radio. It is true. Your Dallas Cowboys have acquired George Pickens. I'm here for a question for the panel, okay, and for you. Franklin Injury Attorney text line is open at 877-881-1053. Where do you now put the Cowboys wide receiver duo in the NFL? I got us coming in third. Behind Brown and Smith and Chase and Higgins, then the Cowboys.
Brown, Smith, Chase, Higgins. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. That's probably the only ones that would be fair. Like Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, I'd go Cowboys on that. Nacua, Devontae Adams.
Dunsky.
Eileen Cowboys. Now, you do have the young duo that remains to be seen of Brian Thomas Jr. and Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
That could take over America.
Yeah.
And we heard the way that the general manager of the Jags talked about Travis Hunter and the impact around the world that he could have as a player. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, another pretty good duo, but you're leaning Cowboys there. I mean, yeah. Terry McLaurin, Debo Samuel. I go Cowboys.
I think Debo's done.
Like, Lamb's better than McLaurin, and Pickens is better than Samuel.
I forgot about Addison in Minnesota.
Oh, that's a good point.
With Jefferson
and yeah. Addison.
I mean, Addison's producing.
Yeah, that you might
be
probably
fourth.
Yeah, maybe fourth.
We're comfortably top five for sure, right, Brian?
It's crazy because you just maybe had the worst wide receiver core in the league.
Yeah. Instant upgrade here with George Pickens. As fans are excited, Brian's comparison to Dez Bryant, the opening segment. You probably have more on him coming up in Krusty's Corner 340.
Yeah, no, I'm going to give you the scouting report. I looked at all the catches, all the balls thrown in his direction. So we'll give you a scouting report on the guy.
How would you like? I don't need the scouting report, but like if CeeDee Lamb's a 9.5 out of 10, where's George Pickens if you're ranking players 1 to 10?
I think that Pickens better vertical game. I think Lamb across the field better. I'm going to say that Pickens probably catch radius is better than Lamb. I'm going to say field awareness or where, you know, how to get open, probably Lamb. And routes are going to be better because of Lamb.
After catch.
Pickens fights for every yard. I only saw one fumble. He's playing the Colts, and they throw him the ball, and he's trying to score, and he gets hit, and the ball's on the ground, but he is fighting for every, and CeeDee does the same thing.
Yeah.
He fights for like every yard out of the catch, and so.
But he's more.
I think Pickens has got better hands.
Pickens plays like it's game 7 of a Stanley Cup playoff series in the last 5 minutes.
He's a wreck. He's a wreck. He's spinning around and he's trying to, you know, he's bouncing off guys, but CeeDee will bounce off guys too.
Yeah.
These two are very, I just think that the vertical game I would give to Pickens, the ability to contort body, bad ball catcher, I think that's Pickens. I think it is.
So what's this team capable of at 877-881-1053? This has been very eventful. They might have had the best first three rounds of the draft you could possibly have if you're picking where they were picking. They spent on
defense. Maybe with Blue, too. Maybe the first four picks for them, if Blue works out, right?
Yeah.
In the fifth round, yeah.
So, and now you add this wide receiver on top of it. I mean, they didn't spend a lot of money in free agency. They spent about $40 million, which I think was third least, but it was still more than they've done.
Yeah, they tried.
I mean, are you entertaining thoughts at all of a successful season? I guess successful would be 10-7, 11-6, getting to the playoffs, maybe winning a playoff game.
Maybe Pickens, you know, and this question was asked to me, how many games do you think Pickens is worth with victories, for victories? Is he worth one game, two games, three games? Does his play add a victory or two to your assessment of how they might play or how they might be?
Yeah, I think it definitely adds. I feel great about saying a game. Much more than that is probably overstating. I would say.
I said three.
I mean, like when you think about the Vegas sports books and stuff, like
they
don't really have much in the way of respect of any player that's not a quarterback.
Yeah, if he's hurt, it's maybe a point, a half point.
But does it help Dak's numbers then? I mean, does it help Dak's win total?
Yeah, Dak's numbers are going to look a lot better now. Yeah. And the whole offense is going to look a fair amount better. Yeah. But I would still probably chalk it up to maybe a game and a half.
So there's a lot of questions here with this George Pickens contract. It's one that we will be anticipating getting a look at this thing. I mean, when that different kind of athletic wide receiver is out there doing his thing, it's an amazing, I think, sports trip to be had, you know. And now him and CeeDee Lamb, and you know, I know the expectations, the excitement level around the Cowboys may have really bottomed out recently, and maybe this is the Cowboys' acknowledgement as well that, hey, we got to do something to get these fans excited and to allow them to believe. And, you know, I think this conversation's reflection of that. Now, the next contract could be around $28 million a year. Are they going to pay two wide receivers? I've never seen the Cowboys pay two wide receivers at the same time for a sustained period of time. There might be like one season of overlap. But they have managed that pie when it comes to wide receiver. Like, we're going to have our guy that we pay, and then we're going to have either the next guy is either an old wide receiver that can still play or is a young guy that hasn't been paid
yet. Is there a blueprint what to do? It's like with Cincinnati, what they did. Would that be the blueprint that you would use? How you pay two top wide receivers?
That's one of the teams that have done that. I mean, Tampa's kind of doing that now a little bit with Evans and with Godwin.
That's a good point.
To some extent.
Yeah.
But the way Cincinnati has had to sacrifice and be so cheap on other places to get the two paid wide receivers, like, if you're going to manage it this conservatively, what else are you giving up to carry that luxury?
Yes, and you know the Cowboys, like Howie Roseman does it. Like, obviously the Eagles are an example. Mm-hmm. A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. But he's not going to cut corners elsewhere on the roster. He's still going to try and have an influx of great talent and using free agency and everything in terms of team building. So the Cowboys, you do know the way they do business. If you have two high paid wide receivers, you are absolutely losing multiple things elsewhere on the roster. And that's not good team allocation.
No.
Salary cap allocation. That's not good there.
No. So I think if you're going to go for it in this NFL, you got to go for it. And I just have this feeling, my fingers are crossed that they're bringing in this wide receiver as, you know, as a way of shoring up their weaknesses in a way that we haven't seen, and perhaps getting ready for a financial commitment starting next year that could try to propel them into a championship window for the 3 or 4 years left on Dak Prescott's contract. That's what you have to hope for, because with the way that the Eagles have been spending, it's not that realistic. You know, to get the job done. How much better they were than the rest of the conference and better than the Chiefs, I think that has to be, you know, like a warning shot. Hey, if you think you're going to tread into this thing and be anything close to what the Eagles are doing, you're gravely mistaken. So now that you got this, get a left tackle, get healthy, and see how good that team is. You know, maybe make a trade at the deadline.
Cincinnati's at $69 million for their two. Hill and Waddle are at 66.2, and A.J. Brown and Smith are at 57 are the numbers for the top three.
Yeah, I
combinations.
Don't.
I don't think anybody's looking at that feeling like that's the smartest way to go about it, unless you're, like I said, like the Eagles, where you're still going to, like, that was late in the process for them of team building. Like, they've shored up a lot of areas of their roster before they went out and made a move like that. Like, the Bengals right now, their defense is historically awful. And you're going to pay these two guys. Joe Burrow apparently wanted it, so you're trying to please him, I guess, to some extent. But you can find wide receivers in multitude of different places. They're all over the place now.
Okay, let me ask you this question then, Eric. It sounds like you're down on this trade.
No, I'm not down on the trade at all. I mean, I do think there are some elements to it. If you're actually looking at it realistically, there are some downsides. It's a little bit short-sighted.
You're saying they paid too much just to have a one-year rental?
Well, not necessarily. I think that's probably the plan here. They've backed themselves into a corner at the position to where, like, you're not fielding an NFL wide receiving core in week one if you just stayed status quo. So you had to do something, and unfortunately that desperate move does lead you to a one-year rental situation, but you hopefully get a comp pick in return down the line.
You won't get your comp pick until 2 years after this.
Exactly. So that's part of the downside. I don't have a third-round pick next year.
Yeah.
So I don't have a third-round pick, and there's a chance I don't have George Pickens. So I kind of made an all-in move in this one little scenario for the position group, but I had to because I've neglected the position other than a bunch of wide receiver fours that you were going to act like were going to be wide receiver twos. So there is a downside to this in terms of the rental aspect, but at the same time, Pickens is a hell of a talent. So for this year, it's going to be a lot of fun.
As long as you're really going for it this year.
But you're not, because you've shown that you're not. You have way too many holes to act like you're actually going for it. This is just, hey, let's have competent offense. We were not going to have competent offense. I can just look at the wide receiver room, and I can look at the running back room. We're doing a new offense now, which big picture I'm excited about. But to think you're just going to hit the ground running with those wide receivers and that running and those running backs and the offensive line that, again, big picture, I like where you're headed, but to think that's just going to be awesome, like you were looking at being the Rangers of the 2025 NFL would season offensively.
Would you just rather them sign Amari Cooper then?
I still think I would rather do this because Pickens is a true needle mover. You sign Amari Cooper, and that's probably an upgrade of what you had, but that's a guy that might be really on his last legs.
I just feel like you're treading water if you sign Amari Cooper.
I agree.
I just do. If the general manager's not going anywhere, sure. Give up the third round pick. Give up the five. Sure. You know, go out and try and make your team better. You know, maybe you don't sign this guy. That's like I said earlier, when you're a guy that's not going to lose your job, these are the kind of moves you make. You're like, oh, whatever. If it doesn't work, I'm not going to be screaming at him about it. I'm not.
I mean, I think this team is more capable than what Eric does. I think this team won 13 games just a couple of years ago with a similar roster. I think you get Blue to run the ball for you well and healthy on defense, this team could be very good.
You're right about the left tackle, by the way. The left tackle is, I hope that's the position that doesn't hold them hostage.
Well, you know, and then so what I'm saying is if you're trading for George Pickens for a rental and then not planning to fix left tackle, what the hell are you doing? You're not building to try to win the Super Bowl now, but you're also not hanging on to your picks to build long term. No. You're just making a trade to be more relevant, to get fans excited. That would be one of the most maddening things I would have ever witnessed. If you're going to trade for George Pickens as a rental and not fix left tackle, come on. You're just engagement farming. You're not trying to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't think they have any plan on. I mean, they feel confident in their evaluation of Tyler Guyton. They're going to run that out there.
And hey, you want to get to training camp like that, good, but then make a trade. You know.
Sure. Yeah, if you get into the season and you realize like, okay, maybe we're much better in some areas than we were expecting except for your tackle spot, then maybe you can go trade for a vet, but that you don't find offensive linemen just all over the place.
I'm interested, Dawson, in this one. If they would say they would have taken Simmons, the Ohio State tackle, would you say go get a right guard and be serious about it? Or is the left tackle?
The left tackle's massive for Dak's interceptions.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But if they would have drafted the left tackle,
yeah,
then you would have said, would you say now go get a right guard?
Let's go into training camp, and if it's bad with Hoffman, we'll find one in the trade market. But, you know, I think at this point,
I wasn't trying to go after
you.
I'm just saying, I just wonder if if in fact drafting a tackle would have been better for you, but they weren't going to do it after they drafted a tackle last year.
I mean, the right guard should make you really good in the running game with Steele. The left tackle could make you more competent in the passing game. And I just think if you're going to get in the business of rental players and you're not going to shore up all of your holes and say, hey, guys, we got Dak at 31 coming off an avulsion fracture. He's not getting any younger. This is the year. If it doesn't work this year, fine, we'll blow the thing up. But dang it, let's go for it right now, because the Eagles are actually taking a step back. The Eagles pushed all in last year. They just lost five good defensive players. This might be our opportunity. I think the George Pickens trade opens up that opportunity with Jerry Jones at this age.
I love Philadelphia with Mukuba, though.
What's that?
Mukuba, the safety. They get rid of... did
they?
Yeah, they get rid of him, and they drafted one of my best safeties off the board, the kid from Texas.
It's going to be Mally on the Hill tonight. I had a lot of fun last night celebrating the greatness of the Boone family and the greatness of the Rangers leadership to know that it was time to go get him. And the amount of fans that wanted to push back to me on Twitter saying, you idiot, if you think six runs proves that Brett Boone fixed the offense, you don't know anything about sport. Which point I told them they don't know a damn thing about the Boone family legacy.
There you go.
And everything that's gone into it. So I'm riding that energy, you know, until further notice. If they put up numbers again tonight, I think the guys might start believing in it, and that true confidence is a real mofo to deal with in sports. Jason Robertson update here. Stars game night. He's looking like a game time decision. You know, and this is another one of those series that appears to be a coin flip, very close here when you're looking at the numbers. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's actually an argument to be made that actually Colorado's better than Winnipeg, even though it's still super, super close. But the computers slightly favored Colorado. Now they're slightly favoring the Stars over Winnipeg. So that's good. But this Jets team, they started the season with an 8-game winning streak. Yeah. They lost a game and then won another 7 in a row. So they started 15-1. Since that point, they've been like, you know, basically the Stars. About that good. They did kind of, you know, win the division by 10 points, but most of that work was done early.
There was talk about the Stars trying to find a way to win it, you know, and then all that kind of fell apart.
Yeah. That 7-game losing streak to end the season.
That just kind of ruined your hope right there, yeah.
Man, the Rangers parallels from their World Series season to this one, it's kind of falling nicely in place there.
Hope so.
So we'll keep pulling for them in the pregame tonight coming up at 5 o'clock with the first pitch, 5:40. They're Tyler Mally on the Hill. We got the C-Note, some of the other things making headlines around your Cowboys coming up next year. It's the G-Bag Nation on the Fan. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Yeah, what do you think the deal tells us about what the Cowboys are thinking at 877-881-1053? Are they trying to win the Super Bowl? Is this a rental? How could you be doing a rental while you're in the middle of a rebuild? You're not, are you? Or are you actually going to go for it? Are they about to say bleep them picks and make the best possible team for 2025? I would love that, but I doubt it. You know, they're probably just using this to increase the interest from a fan base that has lost the faith a little bit. Okay. And until I see otherwise, I will believe that to be the case. But I do believe they now have enough talent in the building that if things go well, Guyton has a big offseason. He comes back year two, makes a big jump. Jaden Blue, good running back. And you get healthy, right? I got to buy myself some time to get this defense healthy, get Diggs back. Can Revelle hit as a third rounder and be a rookie contributor as a rare third rounder to do that? Can Ezeraku be that rookie edge? It's rare that an edge can come in and wreck shop, but it does happen. And if those things would happen, you're talking about a complete nightmare defense once Overshow comes back. So it's far-fetched. And yes, the left tackle thing I think is absolutely crucial here. The 302 says Dawson wants to trade Guyton and another piece for a veteran all-pro left tackle from a non-contender. Who is that? Might be a good idea if they find it. Yeah. I don't think has to be an all-pro. You know, obviously that would be great, a pro bowler. And that might be a tough fit. So I'm thinking more like guy who's maybe past his prime,
but is a solid left tackle and might be getting ready to retire. So the team's like, we're going to lose him anyway. Here, you can have him for a five, you know. But, hey, this does, you know, bring in an interesting scenario that if the Cowboys are willing to use picks for next year for just to try to win the championship this year, why not do that with other picks? You know, why not trade for other good players who are at the end of their rookie deal or smack dab in the middle of their prime, ready to kick ass and take names, and you're going all in for this year? Boy, that would be exciting. It would be way better than the monotony of just hoping you can draft your way to the best team in the NFL. I mean, I know where that train's going. Let's get some different things going on here and a different approach. I think that's what the George Pickens move represents to me. Just hope at 877-881-1053. Former Pittsburgh Steeler and Super Bowl champion analyst Ryan Clark throwing cold water on the trade, saying fans should be worried about how Pickens comported himself with his former team. Brian, you're
not comported.
I'm on it.
Comported is like, you know, the way that you behave yourself.
And Ryan went to school at LSU, so.
Where you carry yourself?
Comported? I don't know. That's a big word for an LSU dude.
It's like a conduct oneself
okay.
or behave.
Comported?
Articulate students who comported themselves well in television interviews is like a sentence example.
I don't know, man. I talked to my guys at Pittsburgh. They were not like, hey, you know, beware, bad things. Man, this dude's a bad dude. You know, and I didn't get that vibe at all.
He's just alive, you know, and eager.
The things that I was told was he cares so much.
You know what it reminds me of is when Dez was fired up on the sideline and people thought he was yelling
getting mad
at
Detroit, yeah.
But he was trying to fire people up.
No, he was trying to. And, you know, it's funny this morning when this all went down, like one of the first tweets I saw was Dez. I think he was up like at 5:15 in the morning too. And he's like, hey, I'm hearing that George Pickens is going to be a Cowboy. And so I was like, oh, this is cool. But yeah, to me,
is that what got you started chasing it down?
No. I was chasing last night. I was chasing last night, and then it turned into me and Bobby talking at 5 this morning because I knew he probably knew something. So we were going at it pretty good, trying to figure it all out, and we did. But the thing with just talking to people at Pittsburgh, it was like, hey, good luck with that. That guy's a mess. Don't, you know, hey, you know, good. You guys, this one's not going to work out, man. Just, I didn't get that at all.
Yeah,
I just got the guy like, hey, he's different. He's competitive. He wants to win. He believes he can win every play. It was like scout guy trying to talk to scout guy.
I know the sentiment in Pittsburgh today is split because I talked to my buddy, and he was saying people are livid with the Steelers for giving him up for so cheap. You know, they just,
sure.
They did not get enough
right.
for a player of that caliber. And, you know, I agree, but when you only have 1 year left and, you know, you're not willing to give the $28 million contract, then it really sweeps the legs out from your bargaining position. Like, oh no, we don't want him, but we want a first from you. You know, it's just not going to work.
Well,
and
it sounds like they were trying to get a two, that Baltimore's asking for the two for Bateman. Is what they were trying to do.
Really?
And
no chance I'd have done that.
Dallas said no because Bateman was saying, sure, if you want to make the trade, I want my contract reworked right now.
Ooh.
And that wasn't going to happen. That part of it wasn't going to happen. And then that's when they pivoted to with Pickens. They'd been working on the Pickens ones for a while.
Too. Yeah, Cowboys were trying to just give a fourth round pick throughout the draft and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But they went ahead and said, all right, we'll do the third round pick. Yeah. And the talent, I think, warrants a second round pick. But the immaturity issues and the one-year rental aspect of all of it.
I think I worry more about
you got a fair deal, Pittsburgh.
I think I worry more about the rental part of it. That's what I worry about. I worry about, I can see this guy having a really good season with Dak and it kind of being, like, very similar to our guy that went to the Knicks that we couldn't pay. We thought about
Brunson.
Brunson. All of a sudden, you see, a super young, talented guy, and he kind of develops – some, you know, he maybe he does get the maturity and he kind of
has a career year.
He has a career year. Then all of a sudden you can't do anything to keep him here.
Yeah. Cause everybody's talking about, hey, just franchise tag him. Like, well, dude, that's going to cost you 25 to 30 million for 1 year,
but you also
immediately
might,
on your salary cap. That's not doable.
What if you don't get Parsons done? That's your tag right there, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, they need to keep that tag available. Now, if they get Parsons done and Bland done, then I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, but they've got some guys that that need contracts after this year.
What's y'all's guess right now, though? This a one-year rental? Because yes. I think so.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Unless somehow they're actually annoyed by CeeDee Lamb and they're going to make Pickens their guy and move on from Lamb. But
I thought crazy.
The time to be annoyed by Lamb has long passed. You committed to Lamb. You gave him the 88. We got the new deal done. He was pretty good last year. Pickens won't be happy with Dak as a quarterback, says the 903. 817, if y'all are comparing him to Dez, Dak couldn't get Dez the ball. Dak isn't accurate enough. That's from Rampage.
But this guy, I tell you what, though, one of the most impressive, I think Dez has got a good catch radius. I think this guy has one of the best catch radiuses I've ever seen on a wide receiver.
Yes, and I love that, and I agree. But I also, I do wonder about this text. Like, was Dez not that good with Dak compared to Romo because of his age and his injury? Or was Dak just not as good as the art of being the quarterback with seeing
Dak,
that throw?
I don't think Dak at that time was as accurate throwing the ball to
but
Dez.
There's a vision component to it. Like, as the quarterback, you're inviting the receiver to make this turn with his body and go this way because you see where the opportunity is.
Yeah, this cat gets himself open, though. That's the I think the big difference is, to me, Dez and this guy both are those 50-50 catches. I think this guy separates better than Dez.
Nice. Okay, I love that
part of it.
Separates better than Dez. Can he go up like Dez?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. That's what I'm saying. They were trying to draft this kid McMillan out of Arizona. They were trying to get a receiver that could play like this. Hmm. You know, they were trying to get a guy that could go get the football. They just traded for one, maybe a better one than what McMillan is.
All right. Let's learn more about him. We go to the Dallas Morning News. 10 things to know about George Pickens. Just 24 years old, 6'3", 200 out of Georgia. Played 3 seasons for Kirby Smart. Did tear his ACL his junior year.
Did.
Returned in time to be part of the national championship game. That's love and passion for football.
Yeah.
That's right.
Then he declared for the 2022 NFL draft. So he tore it during the season and made it back for the February game?
Yeah.
You got to be kidding me. That's Adrian Peterson stuff right there. He did have a viral draft moment. His reaction to getting drafted was one for the ages, apparently. I can't wait to relive that.
Is that the ski mask one? He was standing there with the ski mask on?
I think yes. That was.
This kid likes wearing a ski mask. I'm watching George Pickens crash out compilations right now. And I'll tell you what, I don't know if he's going to catch the ball or not, but he won't lose that fight that's on the field.
No.
No, he's a dog.
he's putting it all out there, man.
He barks and bites.
He's fighting the fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's serious about it. And I think they needed a little sprinkle of some crazy. You know, they got all these team captains, leader, and high character dudes, like, but you had a void of talent.
Yeah.
And this dude's an absolute dog. I think you need some of that. I want a couple of guys that have to rein in a little bit. You know?
At least one per side of the ball, you know, just to keep everybody honest. 59 catches, 900 yards, 3 touchdowns last season, although he did go for 1140 in his second season. He's among the most talented players in the league, but has been fined numerous times for on-field.
Yeah. Yeah, bro.
He was fined after a loss to the Cowboys for an on-field scuffle with Jordan Lewis.
Yeah, and face masked him, bro. A random face mask. Jordan Lewis was running back to the huddle.
Yeah, they were trying to throw the ball around like it's the final play. And it turned into being a big, like, fight. Like, between those two, they didn't even, like, they weren't even part of the play.
Did you see the Jordan Lewis tweet today?
Uh-uh.
After the Schefter tweet breaking the news, even though it was Bobby Belt who really broke the news?
Bobby broke the news. Jordan. I had to tell Adam what was happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, seriously, yeah. I did.
You had to ping Schefter to say, hey, wake your butt up and get to work. There's news to break.
I'm not lying about this. I said, hey, Adam, you might want to look into George Pickens being traded. He goes, well, I heard last night. You might want to look into it.
Wake up.
And at 6 a.m., I'm here to report that.
Wow, like, you're the source.
Oh, Bobby, and we had to. No, I'm not
the first
hand
source.
Bobby was on this, and he and I were talking through it.
Bobby was at a Jelly Roll concert last night. Scooping his balls off, dude. Yeah, what a stud.
You better listen to the music.
Jordan Lewis said, confirmation God wanted me in Jacksonville when he saw the news about George Pickens.
That is classic. Of course, Tomlin said there's certainly, obviously, more room for growth there. He just likes to fight, guy. I mean, if this 70s, it'd be no problem. Yeah. I would like fighting the 70s. He has been fined 10 times by the league, though. His agent is Mr. Mulligetta.
David Mulligetta.
That's fun.
His brother plays football. His older brother had a stint with the Raiders. And he got into a wild fight against a college rival back in the day, Georgia Tech. He was out there fighting.
Yeah.
Oh, this is good.
That was fantastic.
Oh, look at this. Oh, this is a 90-second fight video. I got to tune into this. And he does have a knack for crazy catches.
Yes. Yeah. Circus catches. It's awesome. Him and Lamb together, they're going to be on some SportsCenter top tens.
All right. Speaking of wild, Ralph Strange is coming up at 4 o'clock. Looking forward to talking to that hockey son of a gun about the Stars and Jets here, which is coming up tonight at 8:30. Krusty's Corner is next, though, Brian. What's in store?
Yeah, we got a scouting report about this crazy catcher. We'll do that next.
Yes, sir. Let's go. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Ralph Strange is coming up at 4 o'clock right here. Stars, former play-by-play announcer. You get him on the Ralph cast and the Ralph stack now. You're talking a lot of hockey still. He's going to join us coming up at 4 o'clock. Help us preview this. Sandler at 4:20. Looking for another offensive explosion here tonight from the Rangers with Tyler Mahle on the hill. We'll get the latest on the Rangers at 4:20. And here's Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Brian?
Thank you very much, General. Thank you very much, Reliant. Hey, Lucius, real quick.
Yeah,
I saw someone sent me the top 10 burger places around DFW. Just real quick.
I'm pretty sure Dawson knows all of them.
Okay, there's Griff's Hamburgers are one. That's number one.
Yeah.
True Food Kitchen.
True Food Kitchen. I haven't been there.
Burger Schmurger. That's a real name of a place.
That sounds made up.
It's real. It's Burger Schmurger.
I drove by it the other day.
It's in Dallas.
Where is it?
I need to look it up. But it's Burger Schmurger is what they... There's Dell's Charcoal Burger. That sounds good.
Now that sounds amazing. I want a good cookout burger. That's
in Richardson. Good Friend Beer Garden and Burger House. That's a Dallas one. We've kind of all been to the Rodeo Goat, right? We've done Rodeo Goat. M&O Station Grill. That's in Fort Worth. We need to think about that one. The Hyde Bar is known for a burger. And then Kenny's Burgers joints as well. We've done Kenny's Italian before. Like, we've done meatball subs and stuff there. But I'm thinking about, so none of these places, I need to look them up and see if we need to grab a Friday burger at one of these places. But I just wanted to go through those burgers if I could.
Thank you for that information. Yeah,
you're thinking right, brother.
No, real quick.
Dude, that's on my back way home. That's where I saw Burger Schmurger. It's out here in East Dallas.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Burger All right. Schmurger.
Pass the eye test? Oh, yeah, it looked good.
I think I'm going to go. I love the places that show me the burgers on the menu. So I can kind of get an idea. I want the photo. I don't want them to fool me like Red Lobster.
I like Googling the place and then seeing the people that like want to do reviews.
The reviews
they show
are great.
Their photo
there,
of the
that,
food.
There you go. There you go. I'm with you on that.
Dude, okay. These Burger Schmurgers look unbelievable.
Are they worth like...
They look smash style.
Yeah, smash burgers.
They're smashed?
Oh, my god!
Like with the onions and stuff smashed into
bro.
Them?
Yeah, bro. The cheese melted on there. You got
big chunky tomatoes hanging
out
of that
tomato.
Joint.
Oh, my lord.
All right.
These guys look like the real deal.
Burger Schmurger. I think I'm going to have to go grab some of them for us on a Friday. We'll do that. All right. Anyway, hey, Chief, by the way, help me a little bit on this George Pickens, because you like the metrics stuff, right?
Yeah.
You know that metrics. Do you have metrics numbers for this guy?
Yeah, we know he's a down.
And I'll hit you a scouting report right after the metrics.
Perfect. I have Pro Football Focus, the stable metrics here for receiving for George Pickens. And the thing that jumps out the most is 88th percentile average depth of target. He's a guy that pushes the ball down the field. So that is a great element to this whole situation that this Cowboys offense needed. Now, overall receiving grade, 73rd percentile. Receiving grade versus single coverage, 73rd percentile. He's 39 in the percentile when it comes to versus zone and underneath stuff. His separation's not very good, very low percentile there in terms of separation, but his yards per route run and his average depth of target are both very, very impressive when it comes to where he ranks across the league. His yak, just under 50% in terms of the percentile.
Yeah.
So he's not the CD, like CD Lamb's a top 10 yak guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's not that.
Down the field, he's
the man.
Yeah. Okay.
He does his best work when the ball's in the air.
I think you're going to, but when you watch him, it's this is where maybe I disagree with Pro Football Focus a little bit, because I can pull these plays up for you, him run after catch, and he's like bouncing off dudes. You know, like it's like...
Yeah, I think he's capable. I mean 50th percentile, like you're pretty
maybe,
average
maybe a little
at
bit
it.
Better at that. I man, to me, I just saw a guy, when you throw him the ball, it seemed like that he was fighting for every single yard he could get out of the play. So I was encouraged by that. All right. The George Pickens scouting report that I watched every throw to him this morning.
For breakfast.
For breakfast. Actually, about 6:20 this morning I did this.
Wow.
You're an animal. But then I had a show with you. By the way, we have Love of the Star podcast. It's up on your Odyssey podcast.
That's true.
It's up right now. Eric and I did when we talked about George Pickens. Give it a listen after our show today.
It's worth your time.
Yeah, it's worth your time. But we went into it pretty in depth. All right. This guy is really an emotional, fiery competitor. He will be very physical fighting off the line. He tends to push off in order to create space in route. He catches the ball, I think, very well away from his body. He could really snatch the ball. I mean, when it's in front of him or behind him, above his head, on the ground, I mean, it is like he takes it in and then he's like pulling it away from a defender. So these defenders don't have the opportunity to knock it out of his hands. He's going to make sure that he secures it and then gets it and gets what he needs to do. He'll line up in the slot on third down. They played a lot of bunch formation with this group. He went bunch formation, slot, motion, and then they throw him the ball in the flat on third down. You know, he's able to kind of get up the field, get outside the out routes, things like that. They throw him the ball, secure a catch, get out of bounds, first down.
Outside the numbers, that's where he's going to flourish.
He's a star when it comes to that.
And Lamb dominates everywhere, but especially over the middle of the field.
Right.
And then you have the compliment here with George. I think it's a fantastic duo.
Okay. This is a little, some criticism I had of the guy here. The routes tend to be a little playground, is how I described him.
Just free balling, freestyling?
Yeah. He tends to run until he finds space, and once he finds space, then the quarterback usually finds him. So you will see him. I mentioned this earlier when we've kind of been talking, whether it was a crosstalk or throughout the day. If it's supposed to be a post, you know, and you plant your foot at 12 and then you get, you know, depth or, you know, whatever you have to do, that's not his game. He is going to run, he's going to avoid, and it's not going to look like a pretty route. Maybe there's going to be some things where we're talking about with Dak. Dak can't throw to a guy that's kind of a freelance player. But I think he was more this freelance because I just don't think those Steelers offensive, their passing game was all that complex. You know, I don't
feel like Arthur Smith wants to play tight ends.
I don't think there's any now we'll see what Shoddy wants to do here. But remember how the Cowboys play with a lot of width and all that, and you know, and then, but there's no real creativity to what the Steelers were doing. And then I didn't get the feeling like that they were taking really full advantage of him. Now, like I say, the routes, it might be, hey, I'm just going to get open and throw me the damn ball.
Yeah, Dak just has to trust that this is the guy that I can just throw the ball
exactly
up to.
And you can throw the ball to this guy.
I feel like Dak has been good at those with tight ends over the middle, finding stuff.
Yeah, finding stuff. But this guy is a champ when it comes to tracking the ball.
Michael Gallup wasn't a great route runner.
No, he really wasn't.
Dak
really
had great chemistry with him for 2 or 3 years.
And this
guy
will go get the ball. Like, he'll elevate to go get the ball, where Gallup is more of a body catcher. And then there's chances of the defender knocking the ball away. Pickens isn't going to let you take the ball away from him. That's for sure. But this guy, he's a champ when he comes to tracking the ball. He never loses sight of it. I mean, he's running, and then the ball's in the air, and you could see his eyes. He's finding the ball. He's not. I mean, he knows when to put his hands up. He knows how to adjust. It's really, really easy for him to do this. The length that he has, his body, it helps him to high point passes. He's outstanding at driving defenders off and then coming back to the ball. They're scared of his vertical game, so he could drive a defender and then pivot back to the ball. And they had a couple of those routes where he was able to make really nice plays off that, just driving the defender off. I said this, he runs with some violence with the ball in hand. He did, I mentioned, had a fumble against Indianapolis on the goal line attempting to score. He was trying like hell to get to the pylon, and like three Colts hit him at the goal line. Ball was on the ground. That's the only mistake I saw him have. He had a route where there was an interception where he got tangled up with the Cincinnati corner, And this is where I feel like that if he is going to drop a ball or a ball's not going to, he's not going to catch a ball, it's going to be because him getting tied up with a defender. He gets tangled up with the defender, or then his balance is poor. And when that happens, then that's, but he's not going to drop the ball. If it hits his hands, he's going to catch it. But when he gets tangled up or he's off balance a little bit on the route, then maybe there's a possibility that he's not going to make the catch. But that doesn't, like I say, I didn't see any just drops.
As long as he can lock in without being rattled.
Yeah, I think he's fine.
Did you see any sign that he gets mad at the quarterback and stops playing or takes plays off?
The film didn't show. I mean, the routes that he was running and all that, it looked like to me that he was still playing hard. I didn't see any quit in him or anything. I was watching like the Dallas game, and I mean, I watched every ball that went to him.
So he's just trying to fight the other team.
That's all he does.
I think I've seen clips and elements to his game where when he knows he's not getting the ball, he's kind of loafing on a route.
Yeah.
And maybe that'll change. I don't know how big of a deal that actually is, but that is something that has been discussed, and there's clips to prove that.
Yeah. Well, I didn't see any plays of the balls.
Right. You're just seeing balls going to him.
I've seen everything.
Which is what really matters.
Yeah. It's going to him. Yeah. So this guy's got the ability to adjust, like I said, wherever the ball's placed. He's a red zone killer. Feet, hands work well together. Like I say, he'll bounce off defenders when he's got the ball in hands. He just gives everything he has after every.
That red zone thing is huge. They need go-to plays.
He will go and get that football. And like I said, incompletions are generally a result of him getting tangled up or his balance is poor. And I said it's rare he drops a pass. He does. He plays the game with a lot of fire. There's just not a ton of routes. The route running is not the top of his strength, but he does get open. So, I mean, he's going to find ways to bump corners, push off, use his hands, whatever he has to do to separate. He's going to find ways to do that, and he's going to get the football.
I love it. Yeah. I also love him grabbing that Georgia Tech defensive tackle and just ripping him into the wall. I mean, it's one thing to shove a guy into the wall if you got your weight behind you, but you grabbed this guy's jersey and pulled him towards you.
Yeah.
You got out of the way and then rammed his head into the wall.
Walked him down. Walked that man down.
That's some strength right there. Okay, now I see why Lucius said last hour I wouldn't bet on him to lose any fights on the football field.
No, I wouldn't. No, I
none.
Wouldn't.
And I hope Dak get his accuracy together. He's going to get a football to the forehead.
All right, we got to go. That's two down. Just one more to go. We're talking Stars with Ralph Strangis, and then Jared Sandler joins you next year on The Fan.